Savior. Is he your Savior tonight? Amen. How many need a Savior? Amen.
Oh, my Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty.
My
How many believe that today? Amen.
That God would heal him. So keep him in prayer. the scripture says, where two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst. Amen. I believe if we sincerely bring our offering before God right now, that God will hear our prayer. Amen. He'll answer our cry. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love you tonight, God. Lord, we're so happy, oh God, to be gathered under the fellowship of this word, God, this message, oh God. Lord, and how much you've showed you have loved us, oh God, in all this time, God. Lord, where many are staggering, God, you're holding us, God, by thine outward stretched hand, God. And Lord, this evening, God, as we come before you, Lord, we're here to worship you because you deserve that glory. You deserve that honor, God. And Lord, we love you with all our hearts, God. And Lord, our only cry is, God, draw us closer than ever before, Lord. And God, certainly, Lord, as many requests were brought tonight, oh God, as Clara's in the nursing home tonight, Lord, we pray you touch her, oh God. You're the same God, Lord. Lord, you healed back then. You healed yesterday. You'll heal today, God. You'll be our healer, God, till we leave here, God, as you continue that work, Lord. We just ask God tonight, oh God, you bring that spiritual and natural healing there, God. This man named Chris, God, we pray, oh God, most importantly, God, go out to that soul tonight, God. Lord, and draw him to this precious salvation, oh God, this word of God, Lord, we pray you draw him so close, God. And Lord, may, oh God, you use your children, oh God, and may you use your word, God, and oh God, bring healing to his body, Lord. We can come after cancer, oh God. You said, oh, even to your prophet, Lord, if he could get the people to believe, God, not even cancer would stand in before him. And God, we believe tonight, oh God, that we have a Holy Ghost here tonight, God, that if we just reach out to you, God, Lord, nothing can stand before you, Lord. And tonight we believe that you're a living God, Lord. And we pray for this man tonight earnestly with all our hearts, God, with a sincere objective, God. Lord, bring healing to this body in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And we're trusting, oh God, that it'll be a finished work. It'll be a testimony to the glory of God in this generation, God. We ask tonight, oh God, for all the remainder of the requests, God, that, Lord, you'd work on each and every one of them, God. And, Lord, bring the increase, God. You've seen hands that were raised, God. Lord, we're all sitting here. We're crying out for more of you. We have loved ones we want to see saved, God. We have, oh God, desires and maybe even bodily issues, God. But we pray tonight that you would touch them all, God. Lord, touch Sister Cindy's dad, God, as he's recovering, Lord. We pray that you just wouldn't touch the body, but touch the soul, Lord. And we ask tonight, oh God, as we continue, oh God, to sing these songs, God, may there be such an expectation. May there be such, oh God, a pull on you, God, just to make you feel welcome tonight. That's our desire, God. Lord, we realize that you want to be here, Lord. And we're asking tonight, Lord, that you just come, Lord. How we have such a need of you tonight. And Lord, as our brother has come, Lord, for his first time to hear, Lord, we pray, God, you'd anoint him by the power of the Holy Spirit, God. Use that gift that you've placed in that body, God. Lord, I love the vessel, God. I love the spirit on my brother, God. I pray you just continue, oh God, there. Lord, certainly bring the increase to our lives tonight, Lord. We have a need, oh God, to walk closer to you. May it be through the worship. May it be through the word, God. And Lord, we ask tonight, oh God, you'd certainly, Lord, have your way, God. Bless the tithes. Bless the offerings, God, that we have to bring. Oh God, we just pray, Lord, this is your time. This is all for you, Lord. We love you with all our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Just sing that song. I'll say yes, Lord. Amen. How many just come out to receive of God tonight? Amen. Whether he would say yes or no, whatever God would want for us tonight, amen. Whether it be exhortation, how many come expecting to say yes, Lord? Whatever your will is, I want to do your will. Amen.
And I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will. Sing that again.
deeper as we sing that again. Because I'll say yes, Lord, yes, do your will and to your way. I will trust you. Just sing a song, I'm Running for My Life. Amen. How many are glad they're running for their lives? Amen. They're not running to stay here, but they're running to get the glory. Amen. I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life. Oh, you're running for your life. If anybody asks you, what's the matter with me? I'm running for my life. When pains of death seize on my soul, unto the Lord I cry.
Tonight. Amen. Lord bless you. Lord bless all those that come home to family tonight. Amen. By the grace of God, good to see all the visitors this evening. Amen. I'm not going to try to remember names, but God bless you. I know you're part of the fan club. I told Brother Brandon, I said, I'll tell you right now, brother, I'm not going to remember names, but I'm going to call them your fan club. So we've got a little fan club this evening. Amen. I believe it's father-in-law, mother-in-law, and his wife there and the children. Amen. Just a cute little bundle there with the children and so forth. But anyway, tonight we have a special speaker tonight. Amen. I pray that's all right. That's why I'm out here with you. But anyway, it's been nice to worship with everybody here. And by the grace of God, we have Brother Brandon Sincola here this evening. Amen. And it's his first time coming to preach here. And I was just thinking when I was back at the pew there, I can remember meeting Brother Brandon when he was probably, I bet it was 8 or 10 years ago, and I always remember he always had a smile to him and just a real sweet spirit on him. And you know, just a little while back, we went to Brother Paul's church there, and
met him again, and by the grace of God, he still seems to be carrying what I seen back there, and we found out he's been preaching. So by the grace of God, we have him here this evening, and we're really looking forward to that. Amen. So by the grace of God, we just want to pull on the gift and just allow the Holy Spirit just to use our brother. Amen. But anyway, let me check the time, make sure. I know you can't put a limit on God. Amen. Nor the Holy Ghost. Amen. But we do want to give Brother Brandon as much time as he needs to minister the word. But, you know, here our guests don't know, but sometimes you see where our church is called Living Waters Tabernacle. Now, some people have actually translated that to long-winded tabernacle. But by the grace of God, I haven't heard that for a while, so it's been pretty good. So, but by the grace of God, here and there, perhaps we just take pleasure to be children of the King. Amen. And maybe I will just sing one song, and then we'll get our brother out here as soon as possible. Maybe we'll sing a song to invite him out here by his grace. And we just want to just enjoy ourselves in the house of God tonight. Amen. And by the grace of God, as you see, I'm trying to come up with a song right now. Maybe we'll sing that song if we could. Let's sing that song if you'd like to stand. We're going to invite. No invitations needed. But we're just going to sing that song, Our God is Awesome. Amen? And we'll sing that song as we invite our brother up.
My God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain.
Hallelujah.
My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken. Strength when I'm in
you guys were a small congregation, but you should bring the house down. Amen. That is good. That is good. Well, that'll be all for the musicians. I appreciate you all. We greet you in the name of the Lord, and on behalf of our pastor, Brother Paul, and the congregation there at Little Real Life, just talking with some of the brothers. You know, we're in different location, but we're of the same body, we're of the same mind, and you know, I get the impression that you just want more of God too, and we'll all get along with that. So, yeah, I'm just a young minister, young in my ministry, but God's been faithful. You know, the enemy likes to bring doubt sometimes, but He's provided every time. So we just trust He'll do it again tonight. Amen. So if you want to open in your word here, and we'll go to Genesis chapter 1. And we'll jump right in here. In verse 28. It says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." You just jump ahead here. Let's see. We'll come back to that. Chapter 9. Same book, Genesis, and verse 1. It says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and had said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Let's just have a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before You, Lord. I just pray, God, as Your humble servant, Lord, help me to get out of the way, Lord. Open my mouth when You'd have me to speak, Lord, and shut it, God, when You'd have Your word just to stay, Father. Bless it, Lord. Bless Your people tonight, God. If it's just me, Lord, it's just another night, God, another social gathering, Father. But I pray You'd speak, Lord. Help me to relax and just calm me, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can have your seats. And I'm just going to read to you here from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. It says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So the thought that I want to talk to you tonight on is the effects on future generations. So we can tell here that, and I'm just going to get comfortable here, we can tell here that it's in God's heart for us to be fruitful and to multiply. It's in God's heart for us to have families. Amen? God has a bigger picture of a family than even what I think some of us realize. You know, in Ephesians it talks about the relationship between a husband and wife. And in there, if you look closely, it uses the word mystery. So that means that some wouldn't catch it. And so you have a generation that is full of divorce. It's full of just, you know, why get married? You can have all the benefits without the relationship. Amen? That's the world we live in. But it's God's heart that you should have a family and be fruitful and multiply. Why? Because it is God's heart that He should have a family. It is not just, you know, everyone having a family. You know, in Noah's day, they were, you know, overindulging in drinking, eating, marrying. There was no point to it. Amen? But God has a purpose in it, okay? God's purpose is to have more godly offspring. Amen? God has a vision for family. Amen? He's got a vision for future generations. You know, I see a lot, talking to your pastor here, you know, I see a lot of young ones. This is your heritage from the Lord, the Scripture says. This will be what carries this word on if God should tarry. Amen? They will be the ones that carry the word on. God imparts on us the responsibility to teach them the word of God and that they would carry it on. Amen? Amen. So I was just thinking about kind of what brought this thought on. You know, I just had a little thought there, and Brother Cam called and said, you know, would you minister for me? And So here we are. But I'm reading this book, and you know, I'm watching as time goes on here, as generations do pass, and it seems that the Word of God starts kind of, not the Word, but the people make the Word start to diminish. Amen. It starts to lose its value. It starts to lose its importance. The things that we once held, we no longer hold anymore. Amen. So I'm reading this book, and it's called A Hair Short of Glory. And don't worry, I'm not going to preach on hair tonight, but just take a little excerpt from it, okay? It says, they expected their daughters to carry on the rebellion, but instead of lobbying for political rights, their daughters rebelled against their mother's values and traditions. They cut their hair and started wearing makeup. Many young women began swearing, smoking, and drinking. The older suffragists turned their heads in disgust upon seeing the emergence of the new loose-spirited women. So what these suffragist women didn't realize, they took on that name because they felt they were under bondage. They were trying to get away from what they called, you know, what was submission. We don't like to hear that word anymore, but that is Scripture. Amen. But they didn't want to hear that anymore. They wanted to get away from it. They actually used the terms. They wanted to break free. They were chains that bound them to their husbands. Amen. What they didn't realize was that was glory that actually bound them to the angels. Amen. So they say that, you know, these women get down the road here, and after pushing for these things and pushing for equal rights and things, they it wasn't just equal rights on the sense of, you know, here's the playing field here. They wanted to be above man. They wanted to, it's Satan's objective to destroy the operation of God. Okay, God has a structure. Amen. That's the devil is out to steal, to kill, and destroy. Anything that's God, he wants to remove from it. Amen? So these women, they get out, and after, you know, they have one convention, and it's just the history behind it is really what this book is about. It's just real amazing. But these women get to a point where they start here, they get over here, and they're looking back, and they're thinking, boy, what have we done? There's even times where, you know, this one gal, she invented the bloomers. It was pants that they wore under their dresses. Okay, and so she gets down the road and she's like, you know what? Let's abandon that. I do look like a man. She says, so we're going to leave that there. The problem is that she already planted a seed back here, and what they don't realize is that when you're here and you're older, there's a younger generation that might be here that's going to grab this and run with it. Amen. So in our culture, we lose the sense of future generations, okay? God has a generational vision. Exodus 20 says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So you see, it's not just your sin. He's going to revisit that upon your children's children to the fourth generation. Amen? So God has a generational vision. That word effect, my title, the effects on future generations, that word effect is defined as a result of something or the ability to bring about a result. If you want to describe something that was caused or brought about. Amen? So this is what we're looking at here. Acts 2. 38. We're familiar with it. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That term, all that are afar off, that is your children's children, 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 and so on. Amen. All that are afar off. God said, not one will be plucked from my hand. Amen? That's a generational vision. All right? And that's why we can claim our family members. All right? They might backslide. They might, you know, I've got a brother that's he grew up with me in the message. He's decided that he'll come when he's ready. Okay? And that's okay. But he's living with the gamble that he has tomorrow. Amen. We don't have tomorrow. This is we as Christians, as God's children, we have to be continually thinking of the future. Amen. You praise God for what he's done, what he's going to do, and we often get lost in what he's doing, but we do have to have a vision for the future. Amen? So I'm just going to try and set a quick, try and be quick with it and set a foundation here and then get into just a couple examples. Romans 5, 8 through 21, and I'm just going to take one scripture out of there, verse 17. It says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. By one man sin entered in the world, and by one there was righteousness." Amen? Genesis 12, and maybe I'll skip over some of this just for the sake of time here. Abraham has promised to have a great nation come from him, and all families will be blessed through him. Amen? Genesis 15, "Abraham's seed will be as the stars in the heaven, and he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now towards heaven and tell the stars, number them, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be." He wasn't just given Abraham, you know, you've done well, you've come out from, you know, he told him, you know, come out from amongst the people and go here. Amen? But he didn't just leave it at that. He said, you know what, you've obeyed me, and so I'm going to not only bless you now, but I'm going to bless all your seed to come. Amen? Genesis 17, Abraham's seed multiplied exceedingly, and he becomes the father of many nations. We'll pick it up, verse 2. "And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come of thee." Amen? Are you a king and a queen tonight? Amen. "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and in their generations, plural, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations." So he goes on and he revisits Abraham and he says, you know, your seed will be as the stars and as the sand. Not only that, they're going to possess the enemy's gates. Amen? Aren't you glad for that promise? That is your promise, friends. That's not just Abraham's. That's your promise. Amen? So Genesis 26, he again... the future generation, he extends those promises to Isaac. Amen? Genesis 28, he extends it to Jacob. He's all the time talking about their seed. Their seed shall be like the dust of the earth. Watch this real quick, just to back up. Genesis 26, verse 3. "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give into thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Watch this. "Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So because of what Abraham did, his promises were extended to his seed. Amen? Walk in his ways. Galatians 3. Here it is. Here's where you can latch on to. Amen? Galatians 3 and verse 14. "That the blessing of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ," that's us, "that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Amen. Skipping this verse 16. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." Amen? That includes you. Amen. "He saith not unto seed, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to the seed, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Amen? Amen. Christ was the firstborn among many brethren. We are the seed of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Proverbs 22, verse 6. I got a lot of scripture here. I hope that's all right. Amen. And let me just get my timekeeper here, too. Okay. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Amen? Now, I do believe that there's another might be translation of the scripture, but it says, "It will not depart from them." Amen? Amen. So if you train your children up in the way they should go, it will not depart from them and they won't depart from it. Amen? Why? Because it's a relationship. Amen? It becomes a marriage. It becomes a bind between you and the Word of God. Amen? You know, you say, well, brother, I might not have a family. I might not. You are part of the family of God. Amen? These promises, what we're catching here is the promises and the principles of God. Those are extended to you, whether you have a family or not. But if you do have a family, it is to bring further offspring to serve God. Amen? Amen. And you know what? We got brothers and sisters in our church. And, you know, they're older singles. And we got one gentleman. I think he just turned 71. He's never been married. But I tell you what, that man has a lot of children. Amen. He used to be a phys ed teacher. And so he's going to outlive all of us. But, I mean, this guy is fit. But you watch him and just the things he's done with the youth, with the families, he's constantly trying to get, you know, not trying to, you know, put himself on a pedestal or anything like that. He's caught the vision of this is the family of God. I am a part of this family. Amen. And this is what I'm going to do to contribute. And I tell you what, he'll like to kill you if you let him. He'll walk and run. And I mean, he still jogs. He still goes out for a jog. I think last it was either a mile or I want to say it was 5 miles at 71. Amen. Okay. So we'll move on here. So I'll try not to hit too, you know, read too much here, but in the book of Deuteronomy we see a lot of you know, God commanding us, speak these things to your children. Speak my word to your children. Write it upon thy doorpost. Speak it when you get up and when you lie down. Keep my word always before you. Amen? Amen. Just a couple things here I want to catch. Now this is again just kind of laying the foundation still. Verse 26 of Deuteronomy 11. It says, "Behold, I set there for you this day a blessing and a curse." Okay? There's a blessing and a curse God's about to tell us. "A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known." Okay? All through the book of Deuteronomy, he's saying, teach thy children, love my commandments, keep my commandments. Amen? Teach them to your sons and your sons' sons. Okay? It's a generational vision. Amen? You know, my father-in-law is back here. I don't mean to pick on him here, but you know, he wasn't born a Christian. I mean, we're all not born Christians, but he started off his walk of life, and he wasn't a Christian. You know, as far as I know, there was no mention of it. There were ancestors there in his lineage that you know he believes were praying. There were prayer warriors and things, therefore praying for him. Okay, he. Turns a certain age, goes on through his life here, and God gets a hold of his life. Okay, he starts his family. God just a wonderful testimony sitting back there. Okay, but the point that I'm trying to make is you know, he started off in sin, shaped in iniquity, born in the world speaking lies, yeah. Baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and now he's got 1, 2, 3, 4 grandchildren. Okay. And you know what? There's been times in my walk when I've been struggling and coming up and watching him. You know, I remember one time just kind of dealing with some things in my life. You know, God really trying to move me up higher and me. You know, the pleasure of sin only lasts for a season. Amen. So I was back here. I remember, you know, just talking about him. You know, he's always kept it a priority to talk about the Word. I watched him one time and he was talking to me. And all of a sudden, he got quiet. And when I looked up, he had his Bible in his lap, and he fell asleep reading to me. And I thought, you know what? That's the kind of man I want to be. Here's a man, and he's speaking the Word. He's reading the Word, God's ordinances, God's Word, to his children. Amen? I became one of his children. But now, it's not only that, it's to his children's children. Amen? And so there's a vision there. Judges 2. Negative effects on a generation. Okay, so this is you know, the people are really starting to go bad here. All right, it says, and I'm just gonna just pick out a couple things here. Judges 2 and verse 2. And ye shall make no leagues with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Okay, this is God asking. Jumping down to verse 6. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all of the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Let's just skip down here. Verse 10. And all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, so they had gone. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and allowed other gods of the people that were around about them, and bowed themselves to them, and provoked the Lord to anger. Okay? You say, well, you know, we don't have the graven images that they had. You know, they might forge something and you know, set it up and pray to it. But you know, we have other idols in our time. Amen. We've got a lot that we can choose from, a lot more than probably what they had. Okay? You know, men, we can choose sports. Women can choose fashion. You know, you could name them on and on and on. You know, the television. You know, things, unfortunately, that our prophet came through preaching back here with a vision of up here. Okay? You know, a lot of people are saying, well, this won't hurt me over here. I can do this. But the thing they don't realize is if you start doing it here, it's a snowball effect. It starts off small here. It might just be a tiny pebble. But by the time it gets over here, it's going to smash you. Amen? There was I worked with a lady. I worked at the hospital some years ago, and I worked with a gal, and she had a son that was going to school at Ohio State University. I'm pretty sure it was her that was telling me this. Some kind of experiment. They started with this huge snowball. Somehow they got it that big, at the top of a hill, and they thought, well, we're going to push it, and they're trying to measure scientifically the different forces and things. Well, they misjudged, and by the time it got to the end, it kept going and went right through the wall of a dormitory. It was just a little bit too big. Amen. But that's the effect of sin. Remember, the scripture said, the pleasure of sin only lasts for a season. Okay, that's because as it goes, it gets bigger and bigger, and before you know it, you know, just like those women suffragists, they're looking back and they're saying, "Oh my, what have we done?" But they can't stop. Amen. Except through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. So Proverbs 13: A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for their just. Now that word inheritance is a possession. It's something you inherit, something that is left into your possession. Amen. It might be genetic. It might be a characteristic. It is a legacy. Amen. We have been left with the Word of God in our hands. Amen. These children, Israel was left with the Word of God in their hands. It was their possession. You know, they went to go take the land. Amen. The Word is our land. We are to take it. It was our possession given to us by Jesus Christ. Amen. It was purchased back to us. Now, they decided to squander it because they were getting caught up in sin. It was, well, do what feels good. Do what feels good to me. Amen. Don't forget about the future generation. What feels good to me? What feels good now? You know, I was reading a story and he said, don't let your children walk in and catch you in pornography. Don't let them catch you walk in and you looking at the computer screen. Let them catch you on your knees and in the Word of God. Amen? Why? Because what that does to them, believe it or not, at a young age, that's impressionable on them. Amen? They're going to grow, and even though you might, you know, what's the saying? Do as I say, not as I do. Well, your actions speak a lot louder than words. Amen? You can probably testify from that in your own life. You know, I remember my dad saying, you know, don't do this, don't do this, don't, you know, do this, don't do this. And then you look at him over here and I'm like, Dad, but wait, you said over here don't do that, but you're doing it over here. What's the issue? You know, am I wrong? Is what you said was wrong? You know, and you know, unfortunately, I guess I can say this here, you know, my dad has always been a family man. I'll just be transparent with you tonight if that's all right. My dad's always been a family man. All the way through my life, as far as I can remember, you know, he'd tell me, son, friends will come and go, but family is always there. Amen? Well, now we get down the road here. How old am I? 26. And 26 years down the road, okay, always a family man, always providing, always, you know, made sure we were in church and made sure we were in church. Well, now all of a sudden he decides, you know what, I don't think I love your mother anymore. And he's starting to, you know, he was going this direction, and through some point, I guess, you know, I hate to say it, but just not being born again, he turns back this way, and now he's going this way. But the problem is you got one foot here, and you got one foot here. Well, for us kids, you know, it's like you're losing somebody. It's like somebody's literally dying. It really feels that way. But you watch him, and I told him, I said, Dad, you know, if you do this thing, I said, what have you taught me that is true and right? Does that mean, you know, you've always been a fan, you know, you've always said, love your wife, you know, your children. He's always encouraged that. But now you're down the road, and your actions are proving otherwise. So were you wrong? Amen? And so that's probably what, you know, this generation, they get down the road, and they, you know, the Word of God is just, it's gone. It's just gone. You know, and like we see in our day, it's gone. Why? I don't know if it's just, you know, Brother Branham called it pulpit delinquency. He called it parent delinquency. Amen? It's us, it's our responsibility to carry on the Word. Amen? So, just a couple examples real quick, and then we'll try and start bringing it down to a close here. Hopefully you're being blessed tonight. Amen? 2 Kings, in verse 22, I'm sorry, chapter 22, 2 Kings 22 and 13. Just a couple things here I want to point out, and I'll try and clip along here. But it says, "Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, listen to this, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us." So Josiah, you know, the Word of God gets lost, okay? And these priests find it, and they bring it to the king, and the king reads it, and praise God, just like us, amen. You know, it might not have been right away, but it was eventually. You came to the knowledge, you came to the revelation of the Word of God, amen. Well, that was King Josiah. He reads it, and this was his response to it. Okay. So verse 2, talking about Josiah, says he walked in all the ways of David his father. Okay, so again, here's these principles of their fathers teaching them. Okay, verse 22. "Surely there was not hidden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, for the king, nor of the kings of Judah." Skipping down to 25. So these things have been lost. "And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him." Okay? Now watch this. This always grieves my heart. Chapter 23 and verse 32, and I'll just read them real quick. It says, talking about kings after Josiah, "And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done." Verse 37, new king. "And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done." And the kings after that, 24:9, 24:19, they followed after their fathers, the things that their fathers had done. Amen. And they were doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Amen. So there's the principle of the generation. Okay. Lamentations 5, verse 7, "Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities." Jeremiah in verse 21, he prays that God would turn the people back to God, that God would turn back on them. Amen? But this is the effects, you know, and fathers, husbands, you know, you should be continually praying. "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." You should be continually praying blessings over your children. You know, there was a brother that had gone on, I don't know if you probably know him, Brother Steve Johnson, passed away. I was, you know, blessed to be in the congregation with him, so you get to learn little bits and pieces there, you know, here and there. I wish as a young man, you know, and this is you know, principles for all of us. I wish as a young man that I would have talked to him more. You know, his finances, after he passed away, I found out this man's finances were phenomenal. I mean, he was a good steward. Okay, I found out at some point in time, even if somebody stayed at his house, not going and standing over him or anything like that, but every morning before work, he would walk in and he would pray over his children, over his wife. If there was a visitor, you know, he would pray over them. Okay, I just think that this just blew me away. This just blew me away. So it's something I've tried to incorporate, because that is character, friends. I mean, that is real, genuine, godly character. Amen? It's just too good. But then there's a man named Hezekiah. Okay? 2 Chronicles 29. He starts off, and he's doing according to all that David his father had done, just like King Josiah. Okay? So he's headed off in the right direction. He's, you know, they're tearing down idols. They're cleaning house, basically. Amen? Both him and King Josiah and King Hezekiah, they both did this. Okay? The good of Hezekiah, chapter 31 and verse 20. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Amen? So you can, you know, from these kings and even King Solomon, you know, it broke my heart when I read it. You know, he was, you know, David was a man after God's own heart. They give their whole heart to God, and then they get to some point and it just, their heart turns and it's only half their heart. Okay? So here you find he does it with all of his heart. 32 and verse 31, chapter 32, verse 31, 2 Chronicles. It says, "Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in all the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart." Okay? So God pulls back from King Hezekiah. These ambassadors come. King Hezekiah invites them in. Okay, and he starts showing them around. This is what the Lord has blessed me with. You know, thinking, I think he must have thought that he was doing some good thing. But I'm not sure. But he got caught up in pride anyhow. God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. So King Hezekiah, serving God with all of his heart, doing all these things with all of his heart, and then God pulls back, just to be sure. Okay? Verse 25, going back up. "But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem." Okay? So here he turns, and what's it do? It's not just him, friends. It's not just us. It's the people around him. It's the generations to come. Amen? Nations broke because of men like this. 2 Kings 20, verse 19. "Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah," listen to this now, "good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken." And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days?" So here you find out that he actually lost completely the vision for that future generation. You know, the prophet spoke judgment on him and said, you know what? God's hand stops here with you. Okay? God blessed him for what he had done, for the heart that he gave him. But you know what? Hezekiah, after you, it's judgment. You know, the nation, it's done. Hezekiah says, it's well with me. It's in my time. I don't care about them, basically. This is mine. This is me. It's what pleases me, what makes me feel good. Amen? No future generation. So let's see. I'm just going to skip a couple things here. Okay. Psalms 112. And we'll try and start bringing it down here. I just don't want to leave you with the negative effects here. I want to get into the positive. Psalms 112 in verse 1. "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever, and righteousness shall be in an everlasting remembrance. Everlasting. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. But he's saying the effects of being a righteous man go beyond yourself. They're everlasting. Amen? They go on from generation to generation. Amen. Jeremiah 35. And we're almost done here. And by the way, Hezekiah and what I'm about to read is something my father-in-law showed me. So, that generational thing. Jeremiah 35, verse 5. So, and God tells the prophet to do this. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. And they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, and all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyards, nor field or seed. But we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. Okay? So they're carrying on this legacy that their father left. The word of God that was left to them, they're carrying it on. Amen? Not only that, they're not just taking it to themselves. They've got a further generational vision. They're teaching it to their wives, to their children, to their sons, their daughters. Amen? There's that generational vision. Skipping down to verse 14. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandments. So this is now the prophet talking. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. Okay? And let me just find, we'll just skip a couple things here. I just want to find... Okay, verse 16. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandments of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you, listen to this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. He shall not go forever without a man standing before him that comes from this lineage. It's the legacy of the father. Amen? Isn't that good? Joshua 24. And we'll start bringing it down to a close here. Verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That word house means a house, a household, your family, or your descendants. The root actually comes from to build or rebuild, to establish, and to make permanent. Okay? Joshua here, he has a generational vision. He's not just building something for him now. He's building it, and it will last forever for future generations to come. Amen? And then, so, you know, if the musicians want to come and you all want to go ahead and stand, we'll just, we'll bring it down to a close here. So can you see the effects of on a generation? Can you see your effects on a generation? Can you see the effects? You know, friends, I was thinking in the back, actually, I thought, you know, these men and women that are coming against the message and leaving the Word of God, okay? They're starting here, okay? They're going to end up here, okay? If they do decide to turn back, I mean, you know, God said not one will be plucked from my hand. So if they are over here, they have to be back here. But what they don't realize is if God tarries, okay, the same thing in the Scriptures is happening now. As they go this way, they might say, oh, let's go back here. But then this generation here is going to carry what they're bringing over here, okay? And it keeps going further and further and further until you have the demise of our country. Amen. It's, you know, I was thinking, you know, in Independence Day, you know, we read where it was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, those were our founding fathers. Amen. They paved the way. They planted the seed, and we're reaping the harvest, okay? But we have to plant more seed as we go. Amen. Otherwise, you dig up the harvest and you got nothing left. Amen. They gave us our independence from the world. Amen. It was through them, through their paving, and listen to this, you know, especially you men, listen to this. Through their paving the way, we reap the benefit. Amen. Through you, man, paving the way, your family and those around you will reap the benefit. Okay? Then that's where you get such an adulterous generation. There's no vision for anyone around them but themselves. Amen. They just keep going off, and you know the pleasure of sin carries them along. But you know they don't realize they're leaving everything around them in the dust. It's destruction. Amen. So if you all want to play something soft there. I just want to read to you something that I came across. And you know, I'll back up here because when I read this, it kind of stuck out in this book I was reading. Different book, and then the one on you know, Hair and Dress there, the history. But, and I'm not sure why, but I just remembering that, so we'll read it here. But it says, God wants you to give all of the injustices, all the hurts, all the anger, all the confusion from your past or present completely over to Him. Break the chains to forgive, not just your dad, but anyone who has wronged you. For every angry father who tells his son, you'll never amount to anything, God the Father says, I love you dearly, and I have a higher purpose for your life. For every demeaning name an unwise dad calls his son or his daughter, God says, you are priceless, you are unique, and you are special to me. For every lie that says you need to sin, lust, or feed an addiction to survive or be happy, God says, I will take care of you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will meet all your needs. Where sin has crept into your life, repent. Where bitterness has taken root in your heart, forgive. Where lies have been woven into the script, seek truth. Where traditions have taken precedent, start fresh. Where problems have tried to steal and destruct, pray. And where hindrances are pulling up, piling up, consecrate and dedicate your family to God. Consecration means to clean something up and then dedicate it back to God. Your marriage, your children, your possessions, you consecrate it, clean it up, and give it back to God. Serve God with all your heart. Have a generational view. Have a generational vision. It's not just your life. You affect those around you. You know, we're in a body of Christ. The things that you do, they do affect the body. Amen? You know, you think secret sin is just, it's my sin, it's over here. You know, it's under here, nobody can see it. You know, I'll just step out and, you know, put my nice clothes on and paint a picture for everybody. But, you know, the thing is, your sins will find you out. But the problem is that they destroy others in the path. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, if generations before us, if they've left you a poor legacy, you can make a difference now. Amen? Give your life to Jesus Christ. If you're in Him, you become a new creature. Old things pass away and all things become new. You don't have to acknowledge that back there anymore. Amen? It's just pressing forward to the high calling of Christ. Amen? I'll go ahead and close in prayer here, or pray and turn it back over to the pastor. And we love you. And I pray something was a benefit to you, that I could get out of the way and you be blessed. If there's anything you want prayer for, I'll be more than happy to pray with you. But you know, I've heard something here lately, a lot of preaching on it. You know, it's like the Gentile, the centurion came to Jesus and he told him of his servant was sick. Jesus said, you know, I'll come to your house. And the man said, no, Lord. He said, I'm a man of authority. I tell this man, go, and he goeth. He said, all you have to do is speak the word. Amen. Your altar's in your heart. Okay? You're more than welcome to come up and pray anytime. Amen. But your altar is in your heart. That's what you have to get right. Amen? All right. Just bow your hearts with me. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. I'm grateful to you tonight, God, just feeling your presence come down, Lord. Father, we love you, God, and we praise you, Lord. This truly, Father, it was a privilege and an honor to speak to your children, God. I believe, Lord, that we're speaking not just to your children, Father, but to your bride, Lord. And that's a great responsibility, God. It's a fearful thing, Lord. But, Lord, we love you, God. And Father, if there's chains that bind us from our past, Lord, if there's things from generations that are holding us prior to us, Lord, help us, Father, to be chain breakers, Lord. Help us to seek you, Father, to find you, God. You said, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open, Lord. I pray, God, that if anyone here tonight, Lord, myself included, Lord, if there's something that's bound us, if there's a weight, Father, that so easily besets us, help us to lay it down at your feet. Lord, help your children to see the love of the Father. Lord, you are awesome. You are mighty, God. And I pray, Father, that you just comfort them, Lord. Let them feel at rest. Let them feel at peace. Lord, let them feel secure, God, in the arms of Jesus Christ. Help them, Lord, to let things go, Father, to move on with you, Lord, and press towards that mark of the high calling in Christ. Time is short, Lord. Bless your people, Father. Let no chains bind our hearts, God. Let us be free in you, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Awesome. Amen.
of scripture. I met my match tonight. Certainly a beautiful thought, amen, in a time where Satan is destroying generations. How awesome it is to know that we have a God through His Word that says if you can just give yourself to God, do your best, amen, fight as hard as you can, and establish the principles of this Word in your children's life, in your own lives, in your spouse's life, then we can come out on top, amen? Because you see, God's looking for a full Word bride, amen? Amen? Full Word. He cares about the family. He cares about your revelation. He cares about your generations, amen? Amen. We might not know fully what's going on hereafter, but one thing we know is that if we can follow this Word, just like Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, obey my commandments. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not just for us. It's for our children. It's for our family. Amen. Remember your prophet said in Tolkien, he said that you could create the atmosphere. Amen. You could create the atmosphere that could bring your family in. Amen. So whether they're serving God or not, we're moving into a third pole. And that third pole, remember, Hattie Wright, God gave her those two boys, right? And your prophet said that third pole would not be used in a great way until this catches up over here. World Council of Churches, we're awful close, aren't we? Amen. It is the season to dedicate yourself to God. It is the season to become God-like. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But by the grace of God, church, we know that this is so important. And of course, as I stand here, I say, God, I got to try harder, God. I got to fight harder. There's so little time, so much to do. And as me and Brother Brandon, we're talking back there. You know, you look at Brother Brandon, who says, into his 50s, he said, I haven't done one thing for God. I haven't done nothing for God. And here we are at the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're so worried about ourselves that we can't do nothing for anyone else. We need the revelation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need a move of God in our churches. We need God back on the scene. And there's one way to do it, church. We got to cry out to this God. We got to serve Him. We've got to love Him. We've got to treat Him like He is God. Amen. Like He is the object of worship in our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. And as our brother's preaching, I'm just sitting here, and thoughts are coming back to me about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that man had to go through that house, every little nook, every cranny, and to make sure there wasn't one piece of leaven there. Amen. And we're in the season that it's cleanup time. It's time to walk. To trim the lamps, amen. It's time to put the oil on display, amen. Foolish virgins, they're not able to do it right now, church. But we have found something in this Word. Amen. It found us. And now we can't even leave it if we wanted to. We are a prisoner, a loved prisoner to this God. Hallelujah. But if we look tonight, who would be able to say, I'm not standing in the need of prayer? Who would be able to say, God, I don't need any more. I got enough. But I believe we're all sitting here in the same position. And this Word has quickened this tonight. Hallelujah. And you know what? You can go to the enemy's camp and you can take back what the devil took from you. What that enemy took from it, you can have it. Amen. We're living in the token hour, church. Amen. We believe that this Word is yea in Christ. Amen. But we sit here and we let our faith be bottled up. But I'm not trying to go on a preaching rampage here. But I'm inspired by the Word of God tonight. Because I want a clean house. I want a clean life. Amen. I want a clean church. Amen. Like our brother said, I've got a family right here. Amen. Amen. We're a brotherhood. We're a family in Christ. Amen. The Bible calls us the household of God. Amen. Amen. Remember, they told Jesus, they said, your brother and your mother call for you. He said, who are my mother? Who is my mother and my brother? He said, those that keep my Father's word. Amen. This message goes beyond the blood tie. It goes to the blood tie of atonement. The life binds us. Amen. That's why we pray for our brothers and sisters. We pray for our sister churches. We cry out because the season is late. Amen. I just got an email. I never check my email. But Sister Wendy sent me an email about Billy Graham's daughter. Remember, Billy Graham, he just put out that thing. We're crying out for revival one more time. And now his daughter's been stuck at home. And here she is. She's been praying a lot. And she said she felt the Spirit of God come to her and tell her that the end is here. And she's called for praying. She's calling for fasting this week. Hours. I believe on the seventh day, she said she's calling for people to pray and fast 7 hours. We say, oh, they're foolish virgin. You wait till they cry for the oil. God, help us to cry for that oil. Amen. Hallelujah. Help us to cry out for this word. Amen. Cry out for this generation. Because we have a revelation they don't have. They're crying out for revival, so are we. We're crying out for the bride's revival. Amen. 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 Long-winded preacher. But, like I said, church, it's going time. It's time to go home. It's time to get ready. I believe God has sent us a message tonight. Amen.
Amen.
I accept that. I say, God, help me. Help me with every facet of my life. To proclaim the word of God.
Amen.
I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. And just like our brother, he's reading through the Kings, and you read Chronicles, it says that a certain king said they prepared their heart to seek God.
Amen.
I want to prepare my heart to seek God.
Amen.
Your prophet said before you can ever have revival, you have to have spiritual revival.
Amen.
You have to get in the spirit of revival.
Amen.
Praise God. Remember when he was preaching in Toledo in 50, was it 51? He preached that whole week there. And on the last day he said, we're just now getting into the spirit of revival.
Amen.
Oh, we got to call a revival, don't we? I want a revival to that word.
Amen.
I want a revival for this generation, this church.
Amen.
Amen. I want to cry out for the abominations done amongst the people.
Amen.
You love God? Do you accept that word? You say amen?
Amen.
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 Let's sing a song. We'll invite Brother Dave here. If you need prayer, you need to pray your seat. Amen. We have a God that's here. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing that song. We bow our hearts. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks you. Hallelujah. Don't you love the Spirit of God?
Amen.
Do you feel the Spirit of God tonight just wooing over wooing his children? So beautiful.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees, O Spirit, come make us humble.
Hallelujah.
We turn our eyes from evil things, O Lord, we cast down our idols.
applause, saints. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're worthy, Father. Yeah, song God still moves.
And God still moves. Our God still moves in the heart of His people. Our God still moves.
He does not sleep.
He does.
Saints.
Lord, I give you the honor. I give.
as you can be. If you want to stay and pray, whatsoever you feel like led to do, amen.
And the anchor holds, though the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds in spite of the storm.
Sing it again, the anchor holds.
And the anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The storm.